that I had taken. So I had a busy day. It's hard to find a time when we're not busy. You might think, I'm the only busy one. I know nobody's as busy as I am. You look around you, you'll see a lot of busy people here. But how do you find time in that busyness today?
By the way, you know what's interesting to me? As many conveniences as we have, as many electronics as we have less time than people who didn't have all that stuff years ago had. I remember hearing a young woman tell me one time, she said that when she was a child, her dad would go and sit on the front porch and he'd take his Bible and open it up, put it on his knee, and he would just sit there and read and then sit and rock and read and sit and rock. And he would say, don't come, this is God's time. You don't come out on the porch when I'm on the porch. And they knew not to come out on the porch or play Indian and cowboy and Indian in front of them or anything. When he had his Bible on his lap, you're not to disturb him. Because he sought God. Now, I want you to know this, that I believe that whenever you seek God, and you seek him with all your heart, the scripture says, you step from a desert existence into an oasis existence. And it's hard for me to describe it till you've experienced it. Because for years, I had nothing but a desert experience with the Lord. I mean, I was just going through the motions. It was dry. I'd read the Bible, it was dry. And then I had a time where God was able to touch and speak and work in my life. And it was like I could not, hear me, this is the truth, I could not keep the tears out of my eyes. Because God was working with so. And it's when you know God is working in your heart, and you know the creator of the whole universe is working in your heart, there's no way that you can, it just overwhelms you. I want to share with you this morning how to open the doors of heaven so that you walk a walk that is so dynamic and powerful and beautiful, the world will only gaze in amazement at your life. But they would be drawn to you as they need something, and they don't know what it is. There may be someone here today that is walking in fear and dread, and you're bound by a spirit of fear. There may be somebody here that is living in unforgiveness. You have a situation where you were taken advantage of either as a child or at some time, and you just haven't been able to get over it. You walk in unforgiveness. There may be someone here this morning, your Christian walk is dry and arid and lifeless because you have a broken heart that cannot be mended. There may be someone here with a guilty conscience. You just can't seem to either forgive yourself or accept God's forgiveness for things that you did when you messed up in the past. There might be someone here that has a life full of painful regrets. Things that you did that you just go, I wish I had never said that. I wish I had never done that. And the fear of regret is where you walk all the time. It's almost like it governs your life. If there's one thing that comes in the way of a marriage and a relationship in homes, it is people who cannot put the past in the past. And God is a delivering God that wants us to leave it and step out of the desert and leave your junk in the desert. It's over. It's done. You see, Christians do not have the powerful walk of Christ until they leave the walk that drug them down. Paul said it this way. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily besets us and run the race that is set before us. Today I have a message for you that both is theoretical and practical, and I believe could change your life and set you on a path in a way that you could just find an oasis in Christ. And by the way, there was a time when I read this book and it was so dry, I'd go, why do people read this stuff? Honestly, it's true. And now, whenever I read it, it's like it sets me on fire every time I read it. What? Did the Bible change? No. God changed me. God's kingdom is good news. I'd like for you to look with me in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. I want to read, actually, I believe it's begins with verse 15. Verse 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressed into it. Listen, when we look at the Bible, what are the first four books?
Matthew, Mark. It's what? No, that's first. Genesis. I didn't do that to my class. I did y'all a class thing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right. The first five books, what are they? The books of the law, right? The Torah.
Now, the books of the law teach us what God expects of us.
They were given to show us that we need a Savior, right? Isn't that its purpose? Its purpose. We're not called really to live by the law. We can't live by the law, although the law should guide us. It should guide us to a Savior. But hear me. The law points to the need of a Savior. And it says the law and the prophets came before. Who were the prophets?
Everything other. You start with Joshua and you go through Malachi.
Those books are about the prophets. The prophets point to who? The coming of Jesus. So the law says we have a need of a Savior. The prophet said it's Jesus and points toward us. And then when Jesus comes in Matthew, it is the good news. Euangelion,
which is the Greek, which means good news. Now, I don't know how many of you are Christians who are trying to spread the news with looks of bad news. There was a man, his name was William Randolph Hearst. He was a newspaper tycoon. Back when you didn't get the newspaper online, you got the newspaper in print. And he came up with the concept of expanded newspapers all over the United States. He syndicated his columns and things like that. He became wealthy. But the thing that he really liked was newsies. You know what a newsie is? They're boys who would go out in the streets and sell the newspapers. They were called newsies. As a matter of fact, there's a musical that's out on Broadway. It's called Newsies. And it's a really good musical. You need to go see it. All right. Enough on the advertisement. But newsies were young men who were street waifs, who really were street kids, that Randolph Hearst turned into, gave them jobs. But he put them in, first he had to give them housing, he had to feed them, he had to give them things that they needed, clothes, because many of them didn't have clothes, because he said this, if I don't feed them and I don't take care of them, they can't sell my papers. Because when you sell my papers, your attitude about the paper determines whether they take the paper. they would go through the streets and they would yell out, "News, get your news, get your paper, and see where Pearl Harbor's been bombed, Pearl Harbor," and they're out shouting around, "The news, the good news." He knew if he didn't feed them, he didn't have a place for them, they couldn't shout good news. They would only yell news, and they wouldn't sell many papers. I want you to know something. Unless a Christian has the good news beaming and glowing in them, they can't sell the good news to anybody else. Your testimony and witness is lifeless unless you know the message of Jesus Christ as good news to you. We are witnesses of God's kingdom. And it says in Luke 16:16, it said that first there came the prophets, and then there came a law, and then there came the prophets, and now here's the good news. And here we are at the good news, and what is it for? It is to bring his kingdom to earth. God is big on bringing his kingdom to earth. Why? Because men have separated themselves from God, and outside of God is a big mess. People think they can live without God. No, you can't. Well, you can try. Now, I want to tell you, there are two reasons that many times we don't know God's good news in us as Christians, or we're in the deserts of this life. One is, as I preached a few Sundays ago, we don't realize how much God loves us. If we ever really understood how much God loved us, we would have a totally different attitude about God, his word, and studying his word and following after him. Second, the reason we don't have good news is because we are hungry and dry, and I want to talk about that. Today I want to take you to the second reason, which is we're living in the desert because we are not coming into the context of a spiritual renewed life. We're talking about having a spiritual awakening, a spiritual renewal. And what I'm doing this morning is I'm talking about what it is. Because you're not going to get there in one sermon. It's over a period of time. It's when God begins to work in you. And I want to talk about how that happens. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. It says, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" This is Jesus speaking to Peter. And Peter says, "Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" I wanted to really get to this point. Whatever you bind on earth or loose on earth, hear me, will be bound and loosed in heaven. What's he talking about? Of course, the context of that is life and death. Yes, I understand that. But here's the point. The evil that comes against you, the things that bind you up, you need to loose. And the things that come, the evil things that you have in your life, you need to bind. For instance, some people have addictions. If you get the keys to the kingdom and you open the door, God teaches you how to bind up those addictions. And he teaches you how to be free to walk in his way. Now, notice it says the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. There are keys to the kingdom. Most Christians never get the keys. They do the religious stuff, and they never get the keys. You see, because they do the dead stuff, but they don't do the alive stuff. Dead stuff, which is going through the motions. I just do this. Somehow I'm supposed to grow or something by just keeping and doing. No, here's the point. I need to get the keys and open the doors of heaven. How many of you have ever seen the show Let's Make a Deal? The three doors there, you have a choice of the three doors. By the way, and behind all three doors are something. I want you to know God has doors in his kingdom that he wants to open for you. But you have to have the keys to the kingdom to get in the doors. And the way you get the keys to the kingdom is through his delivering it to you and giving you the keys. And the keys are found right here. The keys are the truths of God that open up the windows of heaven and the doors of heaven. The keys are the truths of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nor can you even come to heaven but by me. Nor can you come to the kingdom or all it has for you. Or can you come to the kingdom's doors except through me. So we begin with Jesus. Those who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior have the ability to have the keys. Outside of Jesus, religion doesn't do you any good. Unless you have Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So where does the truth come in? Which the keys are the truths of God. Where does it come from? Through Jesus. Also in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It says, then Jesus saith to his Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It is the truth of the Lord that are found in his word that sets us free, that gives us the keys. And let me go a step further. The keys are the availability to the windows and the doors of heaven to have blessings poured out on you, to have things poured out on you when you need them at the time of mercy, when you need mercy, when you need grace. But the keys are the truths of God. But it says in here, if you abide in my word, then at that point you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. What truth? The truths of God are in this word. How do I abide in the word of God? I want to just take a minute with that. I have a wife. The more I am with her, the more we find things to be in contention with. My wife said, if I ever retired, she doesn't know how she's going to put up with me. Because I'm there all day long and all night long. And whenever I'm there all day and all night, you know, it's like, did you do this? Did you do that? Little nothings, you know. But as you are there, there is an amazing thing that happens. The more you are together, the more you want to be together. I'm telling you. The more I am with my wife, the more and as a matter of fact, this afternoon I have to go somewhere and get something, and I'm coming back, and I won't be back till tomorrow morning. And my wife can't go. She's struggling today. And I'm going, well, it's not going to be as much fun without her. It's not. I've got to where my fun is with her. I enjoy it. It's fun with her. It's not fun by myself because I don't get to talk to anybody about it. The more you abide with someone, the closer you get, and the more of them rubs off on you, and the more you want to be with them. And that's what abiding is. And the more you abide in God's word, the more it rubs off on you, and the truths come, and they become keys to the kingdom, and the windows of heaven begin to open, and the doors of heaven open. Our problem is we don't even know it. We think, I've got to be busy. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And God is saying, quit being busy. Stop. If you get in here, the doors will open. We think our busyness is going to open doors. It is God who opens the doors. And he opens it with truth. And I know that some of you have some amazing stories of how God has done open truth to you. I want to let you know that I've had several. One day I had my daughter who wanted to do something, and I said, no, you're not going to do that. And I struggled with that. I said, no, you're not going to do that. And I took the word of God out, and I was reading it, not to get an answer, but just to read it. And God said to me, as I was reading his word, did you give that child to me when she was born? I said, yes. Honestly, did you do that? I said, yes, I did. Then he said, then she's mine, and I will take care of her. Let her go. And I want you to know something. Even though she did I didn't really want her to go be with, anyway. I knew this was a part of God's plan, apparently. And a weight came off my shoulders. I remember other times in my life when I was reading the Word of God and God pointed out a promise that was so significant that it, at the very moment, released me from great burdens that I had. The fear of the unknown was gone. And I got news for you. I was a much happier person to live with. I was a much happier Christian. And it became good news in my life. It's much easier to live with someone who is living the good news than someone who's scared to death of something happening or fearful that this might happen. Or, you know, our spiritual renewal that we're beginning to talk about now and beginning to prepare for, and we're going to have a meeting right after church about, is a weekend that we are going to prepare for now so that when we get to that weekend, we will already be experiencing spiritual renewal. I say that to say, I want this church to experience in every life in this person in this church the good news of the gospel so that it is amazing. You go from a dry, barren existence into an oasis experience. And every time you come together with this body, you cannot help but shed a tear because of the joy and the beauty of what God is doing in your life. And the truths that he is giving you to solve and to master all the needs that you have and all the problems you have. But that will only come as we prepare ourselves. And on Friday nights, we have a prayer session that's already begun. And that's going to become our launch pad. They told us, what was interesting, we had these professionals come in and say, what you first need to do is get a group together and start praying. I said, we already done that. Well, then you need to organize yourself and have groups. We've already done that. Well, then, and everything he was saying, so God has been leading us. And we're in preparation now. I am convinced. I am so excited because I am convinced that we're in a day when God is truly a part of this. This is not us trying to work up anything. This is God pointing us in a direction. And his hand is all over this, what he's wanting to do. And so I encourage you to begin to pray and to seek God's face and to seek his truth and his word. And I go back to that story. The story of the little girl who looked at her daddy, and he would go out on the porch and sit there and read. Let me tell you what a Bible is in the Word of God. Some people don't tell you that. You read it. You don't try to. I think it's wonderful that you might try to read the Bible through in a year, and people do that. I almost think that's a gymnastics event, because I don't know how much you get out of that. But I think you read a small passage, and you read it, and you stop, and you just lay on your knee and rock. Last night, in preparation for this sermon, I had all those things going on yesterday. I had to literally go upstairs, close the door, and I turned all the lights out but one, and I sat in my chair and just sat there. I read over the scripture, I looked at the message, and then I just sat there. So here I am, guys. Meditate. And listen. You see, I can't hear from God unless I listen. I've got a sixth grade class, and that's the hardest thing for sixth graders is to get them to stop talking long enough to listen. When you've got 16 of those who are talking at the same time, I said, how can you even hear each other talk? Nobody's listening. Everybody's talking. When will we stop talking long enough to hear? I think most of the time we come before God, we're doing all the talking. We need to be listening. And finally, we go back to the Word of God and read it a second. And we gaze at what he's saying. And then we say, God, what's the truth? What's the truth? I want the key here. I want the key. I know you've got a key for me. For something in my life, I want to come to the Lord, please do. And he'll open up the door. Okay? I believe you're called to abide. I want to encourage you to start praying and start abiding in his word, start studying his word, and seeking him. This is our month. Membership encouragement. I encourage you, if you're not a member of this church, that you join us if you see what God's leading. I encourage you to become a part of us and to join with us in prayer and fellowship and our Friday night and our Thursday night Bible study. And we have so many things that we're doing this for the kingdom. I just pray that you join us and be a part of us. And then as we prepare, I pray that everybody's hearts here will be ready. You will. Let's bow in prayer. Father, teach us how to abide in your word. You said, then we will know. You will know. Others will know that we're disciples. And then you will know the truth. And the truth will set us free. Father, I pray for freedom. So many years.